Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Diehards, it's Monday. It's time to go out and make a f-ing sale. Do you know the hardest door to open in sales is your car door? Why don't you get your ass in the car and go out and make a few sales calls? I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the book, Get Shit Done. It's Monday. Go get shit done.
Thanks, Jeffrey. I'm Jen Gittimer, author of Sales in a New York Minute, and it's time. We're so excited you've joined us today because we have an amazing episode. Take a listen. Yeah, so listen, we have a really important topic today, and you're going to want to sit here and stay tuned because all these gurus out there, I don't know who they are, but these gurus out there are saying, well, if they know you and they like you and they trust you, then they're going to buy from you. All you need is know, like, trust. Really? Really?
Know, like, believe, have confidence in, trust, and it still doesn't mean anything. Like, think of the people who you know right now. I want you to think of your top five people in your life. They know you. They like you. They believe you. They have confidence in you. They trust you. But if you're selling something that's not in their price range, that they have no care about, if they have no if they don't have a need for it in their, you're out.
So, you know, Rebecca and I sell that wine, which has no sugar, no sulfites, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, that one.
It's amazing wine and no hangovers. And Lisa was saying to me the other day, she's like, Jen, I know you. I like you. I trust you. I believe you. All the things.
But fuck you.
I'm not in the market for low sulfite, no sugar wine because I buy wine differently. Like, I'm looking for a $10 bottle of wine. I'm not looking for a $20 bottle of wine. And, you know, if I were to buy it, I would buy it from you, but I'm not going to buy it. And I thought, wow, yeah, that's so interesting. Like, your buyer has to be in the market for what you're selling so they can know, like, trust you and believe you, have confidence in you, all the things. But if they don't feel the value and the need for what you are offering right now, then they ain't gonna buy shit from you.
There's another element to this, and it's very subtle. If you have a prospect and the prospect literally has an interest or a need in what it is that you're selling, you can still formulate the know, like, confidence, trust process without a purchase because you have an established value beyond your price and you have not differentiated yourself from your competitor in the marketplace. And so they're still going to shop. Mm-hmm. And that's a critical issue in sales. You think, well, I have my pitch, I have my slides, I have all my bullshit, but I don't understand their business. I don't understand their needs. I don't understand what they're trying to do to profit their business. I can't differentiate myself from my competitor, or I put my competitor down, which is even worse. And then I compare pricing to that person. I'm toast.
I'm just loving life today. Like, yeah, today is freaking awesome.
It's,
and I hope you're loving life as much as I am.
37 degrees outside in Charlotte. People are starting to burn their houses down in order to get heat.
It is so cold, but it's okay. Let's see who's here. If you're here, give us a hey. If you're watching
Ken Walls,
replay, make sure you give us a little
Donovan
hashtag
Blanks.
Replay.
So there's a guy. Go back up there. Cindy, hi. Ellie, hi.
Cindy, Chris, car dealer in Canada. Cool. And the great Alex Vang is here
he's
the
a cat dealer
room.
In Canada.
Oh, cat. Whoops.
Yeah. And he sells.
Very different.
He
yes.
buys and sells cats.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, okay. My friend's dad used to do that.
No, I did some consulting for them. Caterpillar is a wonderful machine company. Mm-hmm. I mean, they make the best machines in the world. They don't sell on price. They sell on value. They make a ton of profit, and they're a wonderfully run company. That's all I'm going to say.
So why do you think that these gurus, and if you're just listening to the podcast and can't see the audio, I just gave the little, like, quote mark fingers.
Yeah.
But these so-called gurus preach no like trust. Like, why do you think they don't go into detail about what you really need
well,
to get
I think
the sale?
Here's the deal. it's a fundamental part of the process. No, like, trust. But if I need something, like the other day we needed washing machine and a dryer. We didn't know, like, and trust Lowe's. We didn't know, like, and trust the salesperson. We don't even know, like, and trust their delivery process, but we needed the freaking machine. So we went and looked at what we thought was good or best, and then, oh, it was also on sale. So for our $2,000, we made a purchase, but it had nothing to do with no, like, and trust. We trusted the machine, but not the company. Need supersedes trust sometimes.
That's true. And here's a cool thing about that experience. You walked away while we were buying the washer dryer.
Yeah, I couldn't stand it.
I know. And you went to another aisle to, like, mess around. And no, you got in a conversation with a guy who gave you all these suggestions, and he did build your trust.
Totally.
Talk about that.
Well, I needed a light bulb thing that the light bulb would screw into. How's that for hand gestures?
So the light bulb needed to go into the socket?
But it didn't have enough. It didn't have enough length, and I needed a lengthened thing. And this guy said, oh, I have this. I said, no, it's not going to work yet. He goes, oh, I have this and this. And it worked. And the solution was like $3. I couldn't thank the guy enough.
And he came running up to us as we were checking out. He's like, I found a brand new one in the box. Take this one instead. That one might be missing the parts. Like, he really cared about building that relationship. Now, when you go back to Lowe's.
I'm going to look for that guy.
Yeah. Damn straight. Hey, Carl, what's up? Where are you watching us from? Make sure you pop that in there.
Yeah.
So.
What's the name of the podcast? Sell or Die. Sell and Live, or Don't Sell and Die.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We like to be pretty extreme, if you couldn't tell.
Well, I mean, think about it. There's no prize for second place in sales. You don't get a participation ribbon. You don't get a little trophy for making a good presentation. You fucking die. That's the deal. I made the sale. I came in second. You might as well come in 52nd. It doesn't matter. It's a no.
You may not die, but your business will die.
Or you'll just eventually fade away or lose your job or go on the dole or whatever you do. But the bottom line is, it's not going to happen in real time to fill your wallet.
Now, yeah. Now, there's other cases where people actually don't want to know, like, and trust you. They just want the thing. So, like, when we went to Lowe's,
we just wanted the thing.
It was the
destination.
Thing.
Hey, we need a washing machine. We can either go to Best Buy or Home Depot or Lowe's. And I apologize to Queen City Electronics, but they're like Queen City appliances. They weren't convenient. It wasn't close. And we could buy it online. Obviously, we'd go to Amazon and buy it. And I think we did Amazon shop it but, you know, so we're there. And what is going to develop trust? You go to Amazon. Amazon is your trust factor now, because you want to see what's the price compared to what I'm paying for exactly the same thing.
And the reviews. Wow, Excelsior's watching us all the way from Singapore.
Whoa.
And Carl's from, that's cute.
First of all, wait a minute. His name's Excelsior.
Minnesota.
What guy from Jersey is named Excelsior? You
from
know?
Jersey?
Yeah, well, yeah. Nobody with
but
that
look,
name.
Look, Carl's from Minnesota.
That's cool. And Albert is from Tucson, where they don't give a shit. They haven't seen snow in 50 years. And Tucson, by the way, is right on the Mexican border, if you don't know. It is there's a Caterpillar tie-in there. I did training for Caterpillar at their training site in a place called Tenaja. And you ride from Tucson for about 15 miles, and you think you're coming literally to the end of the earth. And I saw a sign as I'm driving that said, road ends in 1.5 miles. And I got out of my car and in black Sharpie, I put earth ends.
Oh my God, Jeffrey.
But it's in the outback. And that's where they test all their equipment. It's really cool and it's very sophisticated. So let me continue about know, like, have confidence and trust. You have a responsibility to make a value judgment about others. And other people have a responsibility to make a value judgment about you, and you each share that responsibility. You're making value judgments both ways. So don't just think that they're listening to you and they're going, uh-huh. No, they're making a value judgment. And that value is it worth it for me to move forward, or am I still in hesitation mode? Do I have enough value? Do I have enough proof? Do I have enough confidence to be able to move forward? And do I really need it?
So as we're getting into the here's what will part of this session, please make sure you share this. I will see on that little screen in front of us who shares it, and we will give you a shout out. You may even win something from us.
On the road today in Denver, Patrick. Hello.
Shared Alex Vang. Woo woo.
Go back up. I want to see if we missed anybody.
I don't think we did.
Keep going. So,
okay. So the other day, someone called in and they wanted to hire you for a seminar.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like, oh, yeah, the seminar's in Jersey. We're in whatever county in Jersey. And I'm like, Jersey? I'm from Jersey. I'm from Bergen County. And I start talking about Jersey. And he's like, yeah. Like literally like dead silence. Like it was like so obvious. He did not give a shit.
Jen's trying
whatsoever.
To make friends with a guy from Jersey.
I'm trying.
Big mistake.
I'm trying to be, because I'm from Charlotte now, you know, like I'm not from Charlotte, but I live in Charlotte now. So I'm like a little bit friendlier. So I'm like trying to build rapport, getting excited. Oh, I know restaurants in there. I'm about to talk to him about that, where he's from. And he could give two shits. Like he couldn't give two shits. Like he just did not care. And so I quickly picked that up. And that's so key. Okay.
Right. Because you picked it up from dead silence.
He was like, yeah. Like literally like pins could drop. Okay. So I was like, okay, so let's talk about your seminar. And I went right into the business mode. Now, when you're with someone from the South or the Midwest or...
You have to talk about your mama in them. How's your mama in them?
And of course, like I'm stereotyping in a sense, because there are people from Jersey that want to like hang for a little bit and connect to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, all two of them. But no, but there are some people that want to schmooze.
Some people will,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
But for the most part, when you're from these other parts of the country or maybe even other countries... People want to hang first. People want to connect first.
Don't confuse their lack of desire to converse with their lack of desire to purchase. Because if they've called you, it's because they're on a mission. And they don't want to screw around with their time. They got other shit to do besides you, no offense. They need to get to Wawa to buy a hoagie. Or they need to go, you know, they have 28 things that they got to do all in the morning. And you just happen to be one of them. And I don't want to talk about Jersey. I don't want to talk about the turnpike. I don't want to talk about U-turns on the highway or left-hand turns on the highway.
What about Bridgegate? Come on.
Yeah, right. But or the rally that was in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Oh, God, yeah.
But here's the deal. You have to be able to understand where the customer is coming from, number one. What the customer actually needs, number two, how quickly they need it, their urgency, number three, and that criteria has to be filtered into the know, like, believe, trust, have confidence.
Time out, pause the show. Ken Walls just shared this stream, and I need to make sure everyone knows that.
Oh my God.
Shout out to Ken Walls.
Jen sold Cutco. She knows what... She knows
how to build rapport.
Yeah,
I would go into people's homes to sell them knives. And mind you, I was like 17 and never stepped foot in the kitchen other than to eat. And but not to cook or clean dishes. And I became a top Cutco salesperson because I learned about them and what they needed. And I did the know, like, trust thing. But it went so beyond no like trust. It went into, you know, what are you going to do with these knives? How are you going to cook? How are you going to make how are these knives going to make your life easier? And we got down to the emotional aspects of them cooking dinner for their family and what that meant to them. And that's so much deeper than like the surface level, just no like trust.
Yeah. Let me throw something at you also that Jen will probably not share today. Jen's made a lot of family sales because her family was vulnerable to Jen. And
they couldn't say no.
Right. And then we'd give them other referrals. But life happens And fast forward 20 years, Jen's grandmother and grandfather have passed on. And a few days ago, we got the Cutco knives back, the block of Cutco knives back from her grandparents' home that Jen had sold them. Now, that's 20 years ago, and I'm challenging you that those will stay in our kitchen in a memory literally forever, and the brand Cutco will be visible to us in a positive way, in a memorable way, literally in an emotional way that will stay top of mind.
Yeah, and you guys have...
Hold on.
Okay.
And we're going to have the Cutco group here from Charlotte, the sales group here from Charlotte. We're going to entertain them for a little while in a couple of weeks. And that's the first thing I'm going to show them. They're going to be in our kitchen having a cup of coffee, looking at the Cutco woodblock, and they'll probably all make a comment. I'm not going to say a word until they start to comment about it. Oh, when did you get that?
You know, I should have taken a picture of the box this thing came in and how it was wrapped, because if I did not see that Cutco wood block first, I would have just unwrapped bubble wrap shit with all these knives in them. I don't know who packed them. It was not me, but thank goodness I saw the big block first.
Isn't that crazy?
Now, listen, we have Dan Cassetta coming on our podcast on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And depending on when you're listening to this, it may be, you know.
Last Tuesday.
No, next Tuesday or tomorrow or whatever.
Right.
But his episode is on fire. He is not selling Cutco on the episode like he does it in life, or he manages people that sell it in life.
Right.
But he is not like selling you anything. His episode is bomb.com.
His episode is epic.
Yeah. Make sure you subscribe to the show so you can get them. Kangos, they are so sharp. But that's the thing. That's for a reason. But anyway, TJ, thank you for sharing this stream. You guys, make sure you're sharing this out, because we're going to go deeper into the why.
No, it's over.
What?
We're
going away?
No.
Okay. We're going to go deeper into why no like and trust is just simply not enough and shitty advice, and what you really have to do to get the sale.
Fast advice.
Right.
Half-assed. And you have to look at it from the perspective of, is this enough for me to make the sale with? And the answer is, it is not. And what the problem is that the person who's standing in front of you, that sales trainer person, that knowledgeable, he'll tell you what, but he or she will rarely go deep on how.
Yeah.
They will rarely, if ever, go deep on why. And so the how and the why builds the process so that you can actually get the business, make the order.
Randy, Robert, Glenn, Bill, you guys, hey, thank you for joining us. Listen, Glenn Bill sells real estate. And
yes, he does.
Do you think if someone's going in with Glenn Bill to buy a $2 million home and they love Glenn Bill, Glenn's a really likable guy.
Totally.
Okay. They know him. They like him. They trust him. And they're looking at this home.
I like
and
him.
And they can afford.
Actually, I trust him.
And they can afford $1 million home, but they're seeing a $2 million home. They're going to be like, yep, we know, like, trust you. So we're going to buy.
No, we need to get it down to $1 million. And I bet you that Glenn will try to go for $1.5 million. To see if he can't get a little bit of an upsell. But still, the bottom line is people have a budget in their mind when they go in to make a purchase, no matter what it is, whether it's a car or a house or a washing machine.
Yeah.
Like we walked into Lowe's and I kind of knew they were going to cost us $1,000 a pop.
You did?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I was thinking they were like $5,000.
Somewhere between $750 and $1,000 was what I was thinking about.
What did we spend, like $1,500?
And once, I don't know. And once I saw that the prices were around $750, $850, I said, okay. And then they install it. And the guys who installed it, by the way, were terrific. They weren't good. They were terrific.
Their dispatch system and I got into a fight because they they agreed on a certain day.
Because
and then...
No, Jen got into a fight because they were not from New Jersey and she knew that she could beat them up.
No, they promised me delivery on a Monday.
Mentally, physically, emotionally beat them up.
They wrote down my number wrong, so they didn't arrive. They didn't call, nothing. And I called them and said, listen.
And Jen starts out very gently with the word douchebag.
No, I left that out. But like, listen, they're like, well, we have to go to these warehouses. We have to get them. They're not sitting right here. I go, I don't care. Like, and with all due respect, I don't care if you need to send an Uber driver with a van to pick up my washing machine and dryer. You promised me delivery today. So they will be here before 5 p.m. And they were.
Oh, yeah. And not only were they there to deliver and install, but it was first class.
It was. Once they got here, they regained my trust after that.
Once they got here, man, they knew exactly what they were doing. I even, like, underneath the washing machine that had been sitting there for 20 years, I swept
it up. You found a penny?
No, I swept it up. I swept up all the stuff, and we cleaned up the, remember? We cleaned
up the. Yeah, I remember, yes. Okay, so Robert says, I just shut down this random person wanting to introduce me to a Bitcoin opportunity. So here's the deal. Random people can come in your life and that and then become connections. Like Erin Gargan King was a random person to us. We didn't know her. And she, a couple of years ago, she emailed Jeffrey to because she reaches out to like really cool people in the cities that she's in.
Who?
And Erin Gargan King.
Oh, yeah.
And so she reached out to Jeffrey and she was like, hey, and she has this whole method for doing it. And then like, you know, so let's sit down for a coffee, you know, after she proved herself in the email. So Jeffrey, of course, forwards it to me and he's like, should we meet her? What's the deal? Blah, blah, blah. And usually when we get these emails, I'm like, eh. But for her, I looked her up and I was like, no, she's the real deal. So if you're going to reach out to someone on a random note, like, and they don't know you and you can't get an introduction to them and that kind of thing, you still have to have the reputation and credibility behind you, whether it be online or when they're asking friends or stuff like that, because that's the foundation. And the reason we're saying that it won't get you the sale is because it's just not enough. Like that is just the baseline things that you need to begin to talk about the opportunity and the offer.
If they listen to you and they know, like, and trust you and know KNOW and they know about you, they like you, they trust you, they believe you, then they're going to Google you. They're going to look for proof that you are who you say you are. And if you ain't, you're toast. In my 21.5 Unbreakable Laws of Selling, there's a full-page quote that says, your customer wants to do business with a somebody, not a nobody. And you have to be a somebody on Google, even if you have proven yourself to be a somebody in the mind of the person that you're speaking to. There has to be some kind of authentication or you are toast.
Dave Ferguson, hey, what's Dave. Up? I love when our friends join us. It's nice to see you here.
I sell the facilitation of discomfort. I like that.
He's in Hilton Head today. Love yeah. it. He hasn't responded to
He's in Hilton Head. The ocean is fucking frozen today.
Listen, if you're not on Google and you're selling stuff, I mean this in the kindest, most nicest, most loving way. You need to get on there.
Yeah.
And you know who can help you with that is Ken Walls. He actually designs your online presence and can facilitate that.
That's true.
He is like the master. So, yeah, all right. I don't know. I feel like, you know.
We're done.
No, I feel like you guys are getting it. Like it's the foundation. So let's go into like what else they need.
Well, you certainly need to know what they need more than what you have. You need to know more about the customer than you know about your product or your service. And that's a basic foundational ground rule of selling. If you walk in knowing all about you and you don't know anything about them, you're up the wrong tree. They don't give a shit about you. They can Google what you sell and find out everything they need to know in about a minute and a half without your dumb slide presentation. I've often told salespeople who get decks, whatever that is, from their marketing department of slides and shit, to give them back to marketing and say, make 5 sales with these and report your findings. Why are you giving me your opinion of what will help me with a customer when you have not gone to market with it yourself? Make a cold call with it. Make an appointment with it. Make a sales from it. Then fucking give it to me. Until then, keep your shit.
I haven't mentioned this on our show in a long time, like back in the day.
Well, people are hearting
us for
this. A year
ago, I think I did. Yeah. Love the hearts. Thank
you,
guys.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
But you just made me think of this one time when I was working at another company and we
got
these...
What's it rhyme with?
We got these brochures in the mail from our marketing team. They were sent out to all the salespeople's homes. And I looked at the brochure. I'm like, we can't use this. Like, this is all about us. The customer will not give a shit. What are we right. supposed to do with this? So I call my boss. He's like, what and what and what? Because he was on the road and I'm like sending him pictures and, you know, whatever. Anyway, we sent them all back to the VP of marketing's home.
Oh, cool. If you have a brochure, get a red Sharpie. See if I have one in my pocket.
There's like one right here.
Get your red Sharpie out and circle all the things that your customer would consider valuable and potentially be a trigger for them to purchase. If you can't purchase, if you can't circle anything, which you probably will not, then I would recommend that you see if your brochure fits in a shredder, because that's probably what's going to happen to it when it gets to your customer's place. Done.
Oh, man. I don't think they'll take the time to shred it. They're just going to put it in their recycle bin. Let's be real here.
I'm going to give you an example of creativity on a cold call.
Hello, RKJ. What's up?
Whoa. Hey, RK. I like him.
Okay.
I'm teaching a bunch of bankers how to make a cold call. And they have this brochure that they want to give out on the cold call. And I said, how much did the brochure cost? Oh, I don't know. We'll call marketing. The brochures cost $3 a piece. And I said, let's take the brochure and not give the brochure out, because it probably says you have loans and checking accounts and all kinds of other bullshit. And it tries to tell how friendly you are. And there's no friendly banker is mutually exclusive terms. And a dull banker, that's now you're talking. Although you can excite a banker by not missing a payment. That will excite the banker. And I said, let's just go walk into a customer's place with $2 bills and say to the gatekeeper, this is a sample of our product. We have plenty of this up at the bank. Can you please give this to your boss and let him or her know that I'm out here? I'd like to shake hands with them and invite them to a personal appointment in the vault with me. And I will guarantee you that you will get through to 74% more, a ton more people than you would if you said, well, here's my literature, and thanks for your kind attention today. Please don't shred it till I leave. I mean, unless you make a thick brochure, which won't fit in the shredder, and someone will just toss it into the recycle bin of their recycler. So that, and just think about that from a standpoint. This guy gave me a freaking $2 bill. I'm never going to forget that.
Right.
I'll carry the $2 bill with me. In fact, I carry $2 bills in my wallet. But that, but it's given to me by Bob Salvin.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just thinking about, okay, we told you, like, here's what will. And I want to take that further, the what will part, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to determine their why they want to buy this, and you need to determine their need. So what do they need right now, or when do they need it? Determine their need, their why, their when. And those things will help you get further to the sale. It's not just about that foundational building, but when you take it further and you really understand what is their need, do they need the thing I'm offering? Do they need something else? Like, we heard of someone in one of your mastermind groups the other day, like, was talking to an amazing potential sale for him and realized that although he could do the job, he was not the best guy for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And he referred it out. That's gonna get him a lifetime of referrals.
Of course.
Because he said, actually, I know I can help you, but this guy is even better for you because he specializes in your industry.
Cool.
Like, whoa.
So let's throw this at you, okay? You have to understand the deeper why of the customer. And the easiest way to do that, this is a definite how, the easiest way to do that is to understand what's going to happen after they take ownership. What do they want their outcome to be? What are they going to do after they purchase? So it's not about making the sale. It's about creating a visible, understandable, truthful outcome. And if you do that, then you're going to win the sale. And if you don't do that, you're going to send a proposal to someone who will never call you back.
Yeah, if you can focus on that transformation and how you're going to help them win in some way and what that looks like long term, you win.
Yeah,
and they win. You all win. Yeah. Everyone wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about winning. Yeah. It's about the Super Bowl on Sunday. Who's going to win that? And the answer is some people actually give a shit.
Who's going to watch that? Not me.
No, I'm definitely watching because I think I want Andy Reid to win.
Oh, okay.
The Kansas City team, because he was a Philly Eagle. Put on there who you want to win.
Hi, Merle. You do cold calling. Jeffrey shares a secret here about getting past the gatekeeper. It's stellar. Hell yeah. Thank you.
Just have something original. Don't want to speak to the person in charge. Well, actually, if you're asking for someone that they don't know who it is, you'll get it. Because when I sold sales leads of new homeowners and building permits and new business names, I would walk into a gatekeeper and say, I'd like to speak to the person in charge of sales leads. And they wouldn't know who that person
was. What? Yeah.
So a boss would always come out. I'm literally 100% of the time, if the boss was there, the boss would come out. It's pretty cool.
Hey, Art. All right, guys, we are out. Thank you for joining us today.
On the great Sell or Die podcast.
That's right. Until next time, I'm Jen Gittimer.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and make a valuable connection where you understand the why and the outcome, even if your ass falls off. Bye.